It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Malachi, and we're beginning the second chapter of the book of Malachi. So please open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 2, and we'll begin reading there. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Again, Malachi chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with the second verse. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse unto you. I will curse your blessings, yea, I will curse them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. I will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. Ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before me, before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity. He did turn away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the law of hosts. But ye have departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. According as ye have not kept my ways, but ye have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? We're going to stop there with that 10th verse, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, we just thank and praise you for the opportunity to come into your house and to be together as you would in church. Father, we believe in the local church, and we should be in the house of God today, in a place that preaches the Word of God, not the traditions and the fables of so many denominations today, Father. We are to teach your Word. That's what's happened here in Malachi. Father, it's so sad. I'm so sorry that so many places no longer proclaim the truth. I ask that you will guide and lead this study as we come together and hear your precious word as if we were sitting in the pews of the church, that we can hear your word. But then, Father, don't let that be your church, Father, that they would come and seek out the house of God that would be with the fellowship of believers to learn and to grow together. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead each and every person today through these words. Convict their heart, touch their heart, Lord. We just ask that you would bless all those who are listening. Bring them first to salvation. The word is proclaimed, the Spirit can go forth and convict the hearts. And I say the hearts, and it refers to the hearts here in verse 2. It must touch the heart. Just to have it in the mind isn't enough. It's got to be in the heart. So please, dear Lord, touch every heart. Bring them to salvation, and then help them to grow. And don't let them sit in some liberal church that doesn't preach the Word of God, please. Father, just convict their hearts. Show them the truth. I speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this study, it directs it, as it has been, right at the priests. And you'll notice that it speaks very clearly of that. And now. So we've connected the two verses. You know, man has added the chapters and the verses, and it makes us much easier for us to study the precious word. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a good division point. And so a lot of times when you are studying, you'll study to the end of the chapter. Well, it's too bad, because many times the verses that continue in the next chapter belong back to the thought and the principles and the desire that the Lord has for us in the previous chapter. You can see that very clearly here, and if we begin with verse 13 in the first chapter, ye say also, behold, what weariness is it? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn and lame and sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts. My name is dreadful among the heathen. And now, O ye priests, that statement was made. We've tied right into the next. And now, O ye priests, that command, this commandment is for you. So he's not only speaking to the people, but he's speaking directly to the leadership. And that's where the falter always comes, is in the leadership. It begins to deteriorate, and when it begins to deteriorate, then it continues down through the flock. As the shepherd doesn't take care of the sheep properly, it's not long that the sheep are sick, not long that the sheep are wandering off. And that's exactly what's happened here to the nation of Israel. So we find again, it's to the priests, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. And then it gets real, real direct. The each offering, it should be given from the heart. The individual that brings the offering unto the priest, it should be given from the heart, and that heart should be God-driven, so that it's not lame, it's a perfect sacrifice, as perfect as it can be. The value and the care, the offering itself represents the one that's coming, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when they would bring something that was less than perfect, it was representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is perfect, is complete. And so for us to come and bring something unto the house of the Lord, our talents, our time, our efforts, our caring for things around the church, our actions around in the community, they need to be at its best, the best of our ability. Because when we come, and as this offering would represent the Lord Jesus Christ, as this offering would be given, and it should have been a perfect lamb, a perfect bullock, perfect, as perfect could be. You watched it, you looked at it, and you brought your best unto the Lord to be offered, to be sacrificed, because of what it represented, what it stood for. we should do the same thing. We are the representatives of Christ. And so as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, people should see Christ in us. They should look at us and see something that's different from the world. And it's so much different that it would draw people to it through the Holy Spirit because of the presentation we make, because of our words that we use, our actions that we have. We are not lazy. God hates laziness, hates it. When you would come and see something that needed to be done at the church, or someone needs some help, and you just get a little lazy and you don't go to help, that's a sad, sad case. And you're representing Christ because Jesus is in us. As the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, we should be very ambitious. We should be busy working and serving. But when we do less than that, we are no different than the people that were bringing these offerings unto the priest. And so it starts there. But also, at some point in time, the priests begin to accept those things. Yes, it's the people's responsibility to bring their best, but it's also the priest's responsibility to not accept it if it wasn't. So how did it come about? Did it come about as the story we had a few times ago that maybe there was a very rich man and he had his prize bull, but his prize bull was sick. His prize bull was probably going to die anyway, so I'm going to give that to the Lord. So he brings it and he offers it. And the priest should have said, no, that animal's sick. If you'd have brought that animal to me a year ago or 2 years ago when he was in his prime, then that would have been just fine. But you don't bring me something that's less than perfect. But the priest didn't, maybe because of the wealth of the individual. You know, people are bribed every day in many different ways. And sad to say, we've sold out to the devil when it comes to bringing our best unto the Lord. And we need to bring our best. And so we have, again, these offerings that they were bringing was representing the one that was coming. And this is the Holy One, the perfect one, the Lord Jesus. And in the day of these priests, they were despising God's name in that they were bringing, the people were bringing imperfect offerings, and the priests were accepting it. That's the problem, because the priests had lost track of how important their office was. Their office was to see that they continued to grow and to feed the people the Word of God. And we get into that down here, all the way down to the 7th verse of chapter 2. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Not only were they to accept the sacrifices, but they were to teach the people the Word of God. Teach them the lips, the mouth. We have the knowledge and the law. They are the messenger of the Lord. It's an important office, a very important office. So let's take a look now as we continue down these words. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you, if ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse unto you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye have not laid it to heart. The heart. If ye will not lay it to heart. It comes right down to the heart. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. whosoever shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. You see, it's another step. And that step comes when you recognize that you're a lost sinner and you need salvation. And you realize that you're coming up against and up to a holy God. And something has to pay that debt of sin. And it's sure nothing that you or I can do. We need someone that can pay it. And Jesus is the one that can pay that debt because he's a perfect sacrifice. And yet people were bringing in something that was lame and sick and broken. And that very animal represented Jesus Christ. That's the reason it's so blasphemous. Because it represented Jesus. So do we. We represent Jesus. And so when we do something less than our best, was any of those animals that were brought, were any of them capable of being completely perfect? No. Nor can we. But to the best of our ability, to the best of our ways of choosing that animal, they should have chosen the best that they had, the very best, nothing that was lame or hurt or broken in any way. And we need to do the same thing unto the Lord. We need to give him our best. The Lord's going to hold the priest responsible, and rightly so. Because I'm sure that at some point in time, someone tried to get by, tried to do something less than their best. And a priest was a good buddy of somebody, or they were afraid because that individual was a great supporter of some work in the community, and they were very highly looked at, and boy, if I refuse that sacrifice, what's going to happen? Well, we have got to please God, not man. And that priest that day decided to please man and not God. And that's where it started. It started with two people that chose to go against the Word of God, to go against the command of God and represent the Lord Jesus Christ in some unholy manner. And that's exactly what they did. Did God hold them responsible? He sure did. Verse 2, if ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse unto you. I will curse your blessings. They have been so blessed. They were taken care of better than anyone else because they were the messengers, as verse 7 says. He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And that messenger was to be taken care of better than anyone else. And God says, I have saw to it that you were taken care of, and yet you deceived me. And you turned your face away from me. And so because of that, I will send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. So as you've been blessed, you'll no longer be blessed. I have cursed them already. The penalties, the blessings that were coming, they had the best meat to enjoy. They had the best of everything. But when they started accepting something less than the best, they were also then receiving for their meals, for all the things that they were enjoying, they were receiving less than the best. So it had already started. And so it wasn't there because ye do not lay it to heart. Are you taking the work of the Lord seriously? Do you come into the house of God to hear the Word of God, to be fed? And again, if you're not being fed, if the truth is not preached, and you may not even know what the truth is, I don't know whether you're saved or not, whether you're born again, but you must be born again. You must call upon whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John chapter 3, you must be born again. And I ask you that you call upon the Lord Jesus today. The Spirit of God comes in, convicts your heart, comes to your heart, wants to come in. But the Holy Spirit, He's going to show you something. He's going to show you who you are. And that's what's going to break you. Because when you truly see who you are, that you're a filthy, rotten sinner, that through that, then, you're going to fall on your face and, God, what shall I do? But before you can even ask, you will be introduced to the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit of God not only shows us our weakness and our failures, but He shows us our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And all we need to do is come. Trust in Him. Ask Him to come into our heart to save you. That's what's to be done. That's what the preachers and the churches should be doing today, is proclaiming those precious words, calling folks to come and be secure in the Lord Jesus, be saved and saved through eternity. Instead of that, why, it's become all a social activity. You come, you get your ears tickled, you listen to the music, and you get to tapping your foot, and boy, everything is just fine. You leave, and oh, you're lifted up, but you're only lifted up by the devil himself. Because God sure isn't lifting you up through that. You must be born again. And then begin to give your best unto Him. Serve Him. Praise Him. What a powerful message we have in these few chapters in the book of Malachi. The priests had failed. The people had failed. And God here is beginning to hold them responsible. Verse 4. Ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, might be with Levi. Look at verse 5. My covenant was with him, of life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and he was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. See, the priests were all of the line of Levi. And so when we look at that, we find that the problem that we have is that they have left their first love. And we jumped from verse 2 to verse 4 for a reason. Now, we're going to look at verse 3, because this is they have gotten to the condition, and we've read this before. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. I will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast. The one shall take you away with it. And what that means is, because if they would ever touch or be around any kind of this dung that we're speaking of here, that was completely taken away, because if they did, they would be declared impure. They would be declared dirty, and they could not serve. And there would be a period of time that they would have to purify themselves before they could return. And God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to shove your face right in that manure pile. Because you have turned your back on me. Now, Levi, he is the one that I have given this to, the tribe of Levi. And you have polluted it. You've turned your back on it. And because of that, as soon as their face hit that manure pile, they will be declared unclean and they will be taken away. One shall take you away from it. They cannot serve, because now they have become declared unclean. Cannot serve. So God's going to take them away. Now, We've got a couple of verses here, Scripture. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we're going to talk about this man Levi just a little bit. Don't know if we're going to have quite enough time to get through it completely today, but we're going to get started on it. Deuteronomy. I hope that you have had a wonderful, extensive study of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of our Scripture, the five books of Moses. I hope that you have studied that because it will show you so much light to make the connection with Malachi and with all of the New Testament as you study that. So if you have not done that, please do. And we have on the website many studies concerning those areas of Scripture. Deuteronomy 33, verses 8 through 10. And of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with the thy Holy One, whom thou dost prove at Massah, and with whom thou dost strive at the waters of Meribah, who saith unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brother, nor knew his own child, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. The important part is here. They have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Now, Levi himself was a very brutal man. He, as the son, see, the tribes, if you're not familiar with these five books, you don't realize that each tribe is one of the sons of Jacob, of Israel, of Jacob. And so Jacob had 12 sons. Now, Joseph received a double blessing. And so you're not going to find, when you list those names, the name Joseph, you're going to find his two sons. And when you find those two sons, you add them up, you still have 12, but you'll notice the one that's missing is Levi, because Levi was not given land. Levi was to be taken care of by everybody else. But Levi himself, the son, was not a good man. He was a very evil man. But the tribe that came from Levi, and that's what it's talking about here in Deuteronomy, became a people that observed thy word and kept thy covenant. And God blessed that. And so when we come to this side then, we find that he is expecting, and so as it says here in, yet ye shall know that I have sent thy command, this commandment, this is in verse 4, back in Malachi 2, I'm sorry, unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. He set that up because of what we've just read back in Deuteronomy chapter 33. My covenant was with him of life and peace. How could he have life and peace? Because, as it says back in this verse, chapter 33 of Deuteronomy, verse 9, for they have observed thy words and kept thy covenant. That's where peace comes from. That's where life comes from. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me. He followed him. He reverenced him. He feared him. He was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace, turned away from iniquity. We find that even though the first man, the father of this tribe, was a very wicked man, but the family made a decision. See, you can make a decision. Maybe you come from a family that is very ungodly, but you can be the one to change that. All you need to do is follow the Word of God. You need to listen to the Word of God. Maybe you've been stuck in a liberal church all your life and think there's nothing to it, and there literally isn't if you're in a liberal church, a place that doesn't preach the truth, doesn't stand upon the Word of God. You need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. He was to teach the Word of God, and he was to point the people to Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what they left. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?